It's so nice to have Michael on the piano today, isn't it? Thank you for filling in, Michael. Janice had to be away for a family emergency this week, and our fantastic musicians just dove right in and just continue to lead us so beautifully in worship today. I don't think my feet are on the ground right now, so I'm trying to get grounded before I speak after my tribute was being sung. Fantastic. Amen. All right, join me in prayer, okay? Good morning, God, and thank you so much for being here with us today, and for the way that we can sing songs that remind us of the very best of what life has to offer, the very best of what you have offered us. And I pray today that we will remember only a gospel of love, that today we will remember only that there is healing and that there is a vision of integrity that has been given to us to guide us through every night, to guide us on every path, to give us courage to take the next step. Thank you for the ancient songs that teach us not to be afraid. Teach us how to walk through fear, also knowing that we're not alone. God, we have so many stories to sing and to tell. May we honor you in that truth. May we honor you in that faith. May we honor one another as we tell the stories of how God set each of us free. In your holy name today, we praise, we dedicate all that we're doing. Amen. My heart this week has really been kind of broken. And I want to share with you why. And many years ago, almost 10 years ago now exactly, I was... one of the great things about ministering in MCC is, and that doesn't mean just ordained ministry. I think maybe many of you will be able to, this is your story too, is that you never know where God's going to take you through relationships of love and companioning one another. There was a lovely young man who came to the North London church. I used to be the pastor in England in North London, and his name was Jide McCauley. Jide McCauley came and went to a service, and then afterward he asked to talk with me. And he had been a minister from Nigeria, and his father ran one of the largest theological institutions in the country. And he had been struggling for many years because of sexuality. And at that service, God spoke to him. And it was that moment of integrity. After a lot of risk that it took to get there, you know, it doesn't just happen in church services. And he was so excited to feel that kind of integrity, and became a key part of our ministry there. Ended up training and coming into our church, into MCC, and. Together, our church also went on a journey, and we felt really called to minister to the Nigerian diaspora. And also, this was the first time that a really hateful bill had come up in the Nigerian parliament, which was ostensibly called against marriage, a bill against marriage was the main part of the title. But what had been tacked onto that were many other things that you could not assemble in a progressive gathering that mentioned LGBT things in a positive way. We couldn't do any advocacy. Anyone who was caught in any relations with same-gender people would be sentenced to up to 10 to 14 years in jail. So we really got behind this as a little church. And they're a lot smaller than you, by the way, in North London. And they got behind it and decided we were going to be audacious and sponsor a day of prayer throughout the world for LGBT Nigerians. And we started working really hard, and our denomination got on board. And before we knew it, we had people in churches throughout the world who were praying for LGBT Nigerians and really praying that that law did not get passed because it would have catastrophic results. And it didn't get passed. It got tabled. We never quite knew why, but mysteriously it got tabled. And then when it came back up again, it mysteriously got tabled again. And at this point, Reverend Jide had moved back to Lagos, Nigeria. And he began a community there called House of Rainbow. And House of Rainbow was the very first open and affirming ministry in Nigeria that was speaking out on behalf of LGBT people. You know, that's, by the way, I'm just going to say this right now. We know that that is not the limit of the scope of what our church is about. But I want to tell you about this issue today. And they were very courageous in doing so because there had been a lot of violence against many people who had come out. And I was invited to come down a year or so later, and we gave the very first sort of positive exploration of how to disarm those clobber passages from our scriptural traditions that are sometimes used against us. We were able to teach a little bit about positive not just a little, a lot about the positive vision of God, you know, and kind of what was many of our stories and stuff. But it was the first time it had ever been heard there in that way. And I was so privileged to be a part of that, and they had worked so hard. There was a little core group, and most of them were students about that age, late teens, early 20s, that were being courageous enough. And they had to meet on Sunday morning in the back room of a of an establishment with a gate in front of it so that it would be safe. And so I remember arriving there, and we went to this back room little place, and there was a choir of about five of them. Man, had they rehearsed themselves. They were so delighted and excited, you know, and they sang all a cappella, and they had that great offbeat clap that Nigerians have. It's this great two and four and kind of thing. Man, it gets you going, you know. And they were just really singing and stuff, but singing, of course, the hymns they had learned in their own churches. I was asked to speak a few words at it, and so I was preparing to do so. And one of the young people who led that choir, his name was Williams, and he would travel all the way from Ghana just to come to church, to be there. And just before I was to sing, Reverend Shide got up and said, "We have a special ministry now. Someone wants to do a special bit of ministry." In comes Williams from the back. He had snuck out, and he came back in, and he had stilettos on. And he had a big sash going across that said, "Miss Gay Lagos, 2006. And it was the very first time that they'd ever had anything like that, you know. And Williams was very proud of that, you know, and walk in with all the dignity you would expect, you know, down the aisle, but didn't have time to do wig. So it wasn't full drag. It was kind of partial, you know. Well, you know, the people who were there, mostly young people, well, they were laughing and they were catcalling and everything, but Williams didn't care. He kept right on it walking. No one had seen anything like this in church, right? Did any of you see anything like that in church growing up? If you grew up in a church background, maybe you grew up in MCC. If so, then it's no big deal. But so Williams walks up to the front, you know, and he turns around and they're just laughing and catcalling and stuff. But he holds his head high, and he says, "When I first found House of Rainbow, I came across a book." And he said, "And this book has taught me that God loves me, and that I am loved as I am, and that there is hope for our future." And he said, "And I wrote a song." And I'll never forget the chorus. And he just started singing. He sang, "Jesus is my shepherd, and he knows I'm gay. Beside him there's no other. Jesus is the way. Jesus is my shepherd, and he knows I'm gay. Besides him, there's no other. Jesus is the way. And he wrote his witness in verses between that chorus over and over. And the room went completely quiet. And there were lots of tears and eyes. And lots of people who were being made whole, being able to come home once again to God through that song. This one person had the courage and the audacity to sing healing for an entire nation through that song. And of course, some of you know that he was inspired by that song from the Reverend Troy Perry's autobiography, The Lord is My Shepherd and He Knows I'm Gay. And that was inspired, of course, by today's psalm. God is my shepherd. Do you get the affirmation in that? God is whose shepherd? My shepherd. Right? I'm not convinced. God is whose shepherd? My shepherd. I shall not want that affirmation. I shall not want. That doesn't mean it's there necessarily, but we speak into it, right? God is my shepherd, just as I am. I shall not want either, right? I shall not want. God leads me beside still waters. God makes me lie down in green pastures and restores my soul. God leads me in paths of righteousness, just as I am, for God's name's sake. Listen to this part, folks. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, are you hearing me? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Even though, do you hear the witness that was happening in Lagos that day? Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Hey, come on, yeah. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me like a little sheep, right? You know, I'm going to be courageous. I'm going to walk into this place. There might be wolves all around me. But you know what? I'm going to feel that tap when I get a little bit scared that says, come on, just come on over here. Just keep moving through. I'm with you, right? You're not alone. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And not only that, you have prepared a feast for me. Do you remember the story? That maybe we're not necessarily called to eat the scraps off the table. That's what was being proclaimed here that day. God prepares a feast for me. Fullness of life. Fullness of life. That's the promise for each of us. God prepares a feast for me in the presence of my enemies, even though I have enemies. And sometimes they're religious enemies. I mean, we hold everyone in love, but sometimes we're bad news people and not good news people to one another. But you'll prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with beautiful oil. You know what the anointing is? That means you are blessed. That means that you are called to be a blessing, just as you are. Just as you are. My cup, I don't get just a little drink, do I? It overflows, right? It just overflows. It is so full. Fullness of life. And we know that later Jesus defined that cup as the cup of love that is overflowing. That's the message here. You are called to have love overflowing in your life. Surely, listen to this affirmation, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of God. How long? Forever and ever and ever. Amen. God's songs. This was a song, this Psalm 23. It was a song that was meant to call someone back to life. It was a song that was meant to bring healing to us. When we share a song like this from the story of our own life, we call one another back to life in the fullness. We remind one another what we are supposed to expect and work for. Life in its fullness. Love in its fullness. To not rest until everyone is able to have life in its fullness. Love in its fullness. And last week, that bill finally passed in Nigeria. The president signed it into law. And immediately, all of our connections over there have told us that there have already been terrible results. Many people are already being arrested. Families are frightened of association with LGBT children. So I want to really call you today to be a praying community. To participate. It doesn't matter that Nigeria is way over there. We are one body. Did you catch that in Kevin's reading today? We are one body. What happens there happens here. So you and I can pray for freedom. We know, by the way, that that's not the last chapter, what just has happened there, right? We know that because we know the vision is for equality and hope and fullness of life for everyone, and healing for everyone. And today I want to invite you to do something, and that is, as you worship, maybe don't just worship for yourself today. I'd like you to keep someone in mind. Maybe you can even imagine someone, an LGBTI Nigerian person, or maybe you have friends in other places of the world, or even the United States, where it feels like it's a high-risk place to be. And as we sing today, as we worship today, sing for them. Sing with hope, and sing with healing. One of the most beautiful things that we learn from Native American traditions is the great medicine that is in singing. And some of you have asked why I named my little dog Delwood. Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit right now before we leave. You know, I love my little dog Delwood. You'll see him if you haven't yet. But Delwood's named after a cowboy in a novel, because Delwood is from a shelter in Dodge City, and he had to have a cowboy name, I thought. And there was a book many years ago that a man named Hans Spambauer wrote, and it's called The Man Who Fell in Love with the Moon. And it's a great book. And in the book, the main character, the narrator through whose eyes you see the book, his name is Shed. And Shed is perhaps transgender, perhaps not. It's kind of defined more in Native American terms. There's this cowboy, you know, who just rides in and out, that really is the love of Shed's life. And Shed gets the worst of what the world has to throw at him at one point, and he has been beaten nearly to death. The cowboy rides in, like in a western, and fights off the person who was doing this, and grabs him, takes him up on his horse, and rides off to a place that is remote, a cave. And he lays his lover by the fire. And what he does is he dances and sings all night to his lover. He sings his life story, and he acts it out, and he tells the Spirit the story of his life, so the Spirit will remember and come back into the body. That was the idea. And this cowboy, he sang with all of his heart that night. And he sang the story of Shed's life back to him. And Shed's spirit hears it and returns back to his body, because it knows where it is home right now in that body. My friends, you and I have that power for one another. We can sing one another stories. The fullness of the human story, of the God love story to one another. And make all the difference and call one another home once again. Call our spirits home once again, just as we are. I'd like to invite you just a moment now for to just meditate on some of this and see what words you've heard today. And maybe it's for your own life. And if you feel like you're walking through a difficult time or through that proverbial valley of the shadow of death, we are here to surround you today and love you and sing your spirit back to life. Take just a few minutes, and you can close your eyes if that works for you, or keep them open and just spend some time meditating or singing in your soul and spirit to God, that God who is always with us. So tell the earth to shake with marching feet of messengers of peace. Proclaim my law of love to every nation and every race. For the old wrongs are over. The old days are gone. The new world is rising, where my people shall be one. May it be so, and may it begin with us. Amen. I'd like to invite you now to have the opportunity to share and give to one another.